Welcome to Raw and Real Entrepreneurship, the show that dares to bring no-nonsense insight to those who have the courage to start, grow, and scale a business. I'm your host, Susan Sly. Okay, I just want everyone to take a deep breath right now and let it go and get ready, because you are about to laugh, you're about to cry, you're about to be inspired, and your hand is going to hurt from writing. This amazing lady, I love her so much, and she is incredible. The number one thing in her bio is world's number one rock star. I don't know if Chris Martin knows he's got the competition or what's going on. She's the number one rock star world international speaker. She's an influencer, founder, and CEO of Event of Champions, which I have spoken at twice. Is amazing. Some of you have been in attendance at that. She's the editor in chief of Global Champions Magazine, business and wealth coach, 7-time award-winning sales and growth expert, entrepreneur, author, multimillionaire, property investor, which we are going to talk about. And we're also going to talk about the metaverse, radio show host of the Camelita podcast. And her vision is to help businesses of all sizes increase their wealth. And so, Camelita Nuttall,
darling,
from the UK, live, forget Princess Kate, forget the Queen, because the real Queen is in the house. Camelita, I'm so excited to talk to you today, girlfriend.
Listen, you're my sister from another mister. Listen, you know I love you. I love you.
I love you too. And, you know, okay, super diva. People look at you, they're like, she's the queen of LinkedIn. She's the queen of Twitter. She is everywhere all at once. She's like a Marvel superhero. But what they don't see is that you, like, you know, many people here had some very challenging beginnings and including foraging in the dump. And can you talk about your early childhood? Because, you know, people only see the glory. They don't know the story. And they're like, oh, it's easy for her to be a multimillionaire and her to be like the, you know, the guru of real estate investing and speaking and coaching. But let's talk about your early life.
You know, I love when you say that, the guru, because I just love that. I call myself the black broker. Do you know what I mean? You know, growing up, I always saw television, the black and white version, and I would watch Dallas and Dynasty. Growing up with no food, very little to eat, struggling to go to school. Some days we had, it was bad. Living in the country, so not don't have access to things, but I would watch television, and I would watch Dallas and Dynasty, and I would see Sue Ellen and JR, and all of them with the pearls, and JR, and in the end, who shot JR? And I was like, I want to live like them. Like, I want to have that kind of wealth, that kind of money. But I had no idea. But my mother, and we talked about your dad, and I can't wait to meet him. My mother said to me, look at my friend down the road. She's got 5 properties, 6 properties, and she doesn't have to work anymore. You want to do that? You want to live like her? And I was like, okay. But as I said, mommy, well, what do I do? She said, take your education. Take your education. At least do something to get you out from where you are. So I studied hard. I studied through school. I was topping this and topping that. And then I decided to come to London to start law school. But Susan, I had no money. So I came to London without any money. But prior to that, at the age of 13 and a half, my mother said, we're going to find a way. My father said, we no longer have money. I'm the last of 11 children. And my father said, I'm tired spending money for school books. You're just not going to go to school. I said to my mother, mommy, what can we do? She said, well, we'll do something. And my sister said, well, people are hustling on the dump. Why don't you go there? At least so you can attend secondary school. I said to mommy, let me go. What am I fussing? I ain't got no shame. I know where I am and I know where I don't want to be. Let's go and hustle on the dump. And 2.5 months, dig through rubbish. The things that you throw away, that people take for granted. Digging through rubbish to get glass bottles to sell just so I could attend secondary school, Susan. I had no shame because I wanted to win so bad. And some people look at me and they think, yeah, you know, all the accolades stuff you've read. But that's what I had to do what I'm doing right now.
And you haven't stopped with that attitude. As your sister, I so see that. It's that tenacity that you're still willing to essentially dig through rubbish, even to dig through people's emotional rubbish to help to find those glass bottles, which is like been this whole beautiful overreaching theme of your life. And you know, there are a lot of people who will live Camelita in their story and in victimhood, but you are one of these rare women who said, you know what? I'm not going to be a victim. That's not going to define me. So how did you shift your identity? Because a lot of people can't, right? Yeah. And they'd much rather on social media talk about how rich people are horrible and no one can get ahead because they haven't managed to shift their identity. How did you do it?
For me, it was why? Why did I want to make money? Why did I want to be different? Why? What's the why behind the money? For me, it was never about the money. It was about helping my mother. Because I saw my mother digging through the rubbish with me, having an outhouse in the Caribbean, we call it a latrine, and having to go up the hill in the water at night to go and use the toilet. That is what I saw growing up. And I said, I don't care what I have to do. I am going to work like a dog and I'm going to help fix my mother's house so she never has to do that again. And I want to be in a place that I can always help her and give her money. And then I also saw other people that were just like me, who I helped when I was in the same situation. And I thought, I want to help more people like that. So for me, it was never the money situation for me. The money came because I had to make money because I wanted to help my mother. And that was my driving force. And then it became, I want to help other people. Then it became, I want to help children who were just like me. And then it became, I want to teach humans how to build their lives, because if I could do it, they can do it too. So there was a reason behind the drive. And I think for a lot of people who are struggling and have this victim mentality, oh, look at me, oh, woe is me, find something that would fire you up. Find something that would put some fire in your assets and use that as your driving force to win. That's how you're going to do it. It's never about the money. And when you make money, when we became a millionaire, we didn't even know we were millionaires because we were just working like a dog. So it was never about the money. The money is a byproduct of you giving value. Your focus has to be on the why and the value you intend to leave in this world.
I wish you would be a little more passionate. just a little more. Could you be a little more? You know, I'm thinking about you digging through the rubbish to find the treasure. And there are people watching this right now who have a business and they're saying, oh, well, that industry isn't alive anymore, or no one's making money in this business, but you found a way to make money with rubbish. What do you say to the person who has an asset, but they aren't making the money they want to? What do they need to do?
So I'm a Christian, so I'll say this from a Christian perspective. I did a conference recently, and it was Matthew 28, I think it was Matthew 11, 20 and 21. And I said, no, sorry, Matthew 18, 20, 21. And I said, it talked about your talents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have talents in us. We're all born with something. I don't care how broke you are. None of you have to dig through the rubbish. So don't come in them kind of craziness to me. Every single one of us have got talents. And the talent may be to write. It may be to read. It may be your voice. It may be to sew. It may be to create. It may be for tech. Everybody's got a talent. I wish I had your kind of tech knowledge, Suzanne, but I don't. I can talk for England and Trinidad put together. And I have a tenacity to win it, and I have a knack for property. So you've got to find what is that one thing that's you're different from everybody else and learn to monetize that. Because that talent, don't get vexed with me, because we decided to utilize our talents, not to get rich, but to help other people. Zig Ziglar, you help enough people get what they want, you get what you want. So our goal was never about, oh, we're going to make millions. It was about how many people can we help get what they want. That's the plan. So don't come and say, oh, you know, what is me? You know, I don't have much and I don't have anything. Use what you got. What is your talent? What can you do? Can you do hair? Be the best at it. Can you do eyebrows? Be the best at it. Are you good at tech? Be the best at it. Can you create some NFTs? Do that. I don't care what you can do. Do something. Just do something. Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Oh, okay. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. I want everyone to write that down. Lead, follow, get out of the way. Like it's yeah. We'll talk about NFTs in a minute. I can't wait. Kimbalita and I should make an NFT and people will be like, yes, and it'll be like a digital version of us screaming at people. It'll be so good, but people will love it. It'll be weird. Let me ask you, branding. Yeah. Branding. And there are people who don't think they need to have a brand. Preach it. Why does everyone need to have a brand?
Look behind me. People buy brands. Okay? If they buy personal brands or they buy business brands, but people buy brands. People align with brands. If you have an empty cup or you got a cup with a Starbucks logo, you tell me the price. The brand. It is the brand. Because people align themselves with the brand. And it's what the brand stands for. Is it one of a mission brand? Is it a celebrity brand? Is it a business brand? What is the brand? Because people align with that. Why? Because everybody wants to feel as if they're part of something. They want to feel as if they belong. So your job is to create a brand, whether it's a mission to save the whale and to save the world, or whether it's a celebrity because you want people to look at your lifestyle and believe that they could do it too, or it's a business brand where you're providing a service or a product. Your job is to build something that people would recognize, because that recognition is what people buy into. They don't necessarily buy into you or your name. They buy into the brand you or your business brand name, because that's what they remember. So everybody that has a business, your focus, I tell all my clients this that I coach, your main focus has to be, first, you are building a brand. Trademark it, protect it, keep it going. Make sure you got the right colors, the right everything first before you run off and go and make money. Because some people, do you know what they do? Oh, yes, I've got an idea. And they just start posting it out on social media. And, oh, they buy a domain name. A domain name is not a brand. They buy a domain name and think, yeah, I'm in business. Really, you put it out there, somebody snap it up in a shot. Your job is to protect that brand. Make sure you have all the trademarks in place and build brand loyalty, because people will pay for brand loyalty more than they will just pay for some other thing. So regardless, build a brand, align with somebody who knows what they're doing, get to work.
Kimbalita, I love that. And I love the Starbucks analogy. It's like that you have the cup with the Starbucks logo, you have a plain white cup, which are you paying more for? And we are our own brand. So even for the people who are watching and they have a product or a service that they're promoting, say they're in direct sales or something, they're promoting someone else's product. At the end of the day, who do people choose to follow? It's that person with the stronger brand who's associated with a brand, right? So how has your brand evolved? Because I know it has evolved.
I tell you what, when I started off, I have got several brands. I've got the Kimbalita brand, which is my main, which is my personal brand. And I've got my business brand, Event of Champions. And I've got the property brand that I'm building. And then I've launched another one last month that I'm my retirement kind of brand kind of thing. So That's launch. It's trademarking as we speak. Counts everything, set up everything right for it. For me, how I built my brand was, number one, I protected the brand. I had everything trademarked and I was very clear on what the brand stands for. I was not going to be cheap and I was not going to be like everybody else. I didn't care what everybody else was selling. I was selling what I was selling. Your job in building that brand is to focus on what you are doing. I don't care who else is doing what. You can carry on. As my mother says, mind your own business. So my focus was building this Kimbalita brand. This is how we're going to do it. These are the people we're going to serve. This is how much I'm going to charge. If you think I'm too expensive, my way or the highway. Then I'm building Event of Champions. This is my heart brand. This is where I teach entrepreneurs how to build their lives. And I have amazing speakers like Susan come on the stage and share her story. And they then help all of those people if they want to work with all the clients. It's not, that brand is not about me. That brand is more about how do we help entrepreneurs like us become who they want to become. And then my property brand is giving people a home. People who don't can't afford a home, people who've lost their home. And they're like, thank you so much for helping me. I'm so grateful for having a house. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. So you got to decide, is it, how are you going to build it? Who are you going to align with? Because you need to align with influencers. You need to align with people who have money. And most importantly, people who have initiative. They will get off their assets and do something. That's key in building this brand. Honestly, that's what I did with the Carmelita brand. I aligned with people that I know was going places. And also, Susan, and this is one thing people don't like to talk about. You have got to spend money to build that brand. I'm leaving that one right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is such good wisdom. And I love what you said about what you're quoting your mom, mind your business. Let me ask you, if you could go back in time to some of your early branding, just like if we were going back in time and looking at some fashion, because Dynasty in Dallas, you know, the big hair, 80s, is there anything from your early branding that you look at it and go, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
I didn't have any branding. That's it. It was just, for me, Susan, it was just slap dam, slam bam, thank you, ma'am. It was just slap dash any old how. And I wasn't thinking that I am building something. I thought I was just starting a business. I thought I was just making money. And anybody could start a business and anybody could make money, but it takes a different type of person to build a brand. I look back at it and I think, wow, you actually did that. You actually did it like that. That is bad. Because people just, and let me give you a perfect example. Why I am so glad that I built the brand that I built. A lady came to me for coaching. No, actually, to tell her, like, she came to my event in Toronto. I had an old website without any branding. It looked dire, to say the least. And somebody invited her to come with them. Do you know what she, and so when she came, she saw the event, she was amazed. She was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Event of Champions is brilliant. I love it. Do you know what she said to me? When I spoke to her one-to-one, she said, I looked at your brand. I looked at your website and I almost didn't come and I almost didn't pay you 25 grand to coach me because I thought, how could you say one thing and your brand looked like that? But because I heard you, that's when I bought into you. How much money I missed if I had got that right from day one. How many people?
Everyone is taking notes. How much money are you missing because you are not paying attention to your brand? And everyone has heard me say, if all you're doing is posting on social media, that's like building your dream home on rented land. So Carmelita, let's talk about your email list because I'm going to lose my mind. People are like, I don't need to have an email list. I have 3,000 followers on Instagram. Let's talk about that, shall we?
Let's talk about 3,000. Hold on. Let's talk about 3,000 followers on Instagram. 1,500 of them is probably broke and can't afford your products, brand or service. They just want to see nice pictures of you or videos and they just love the personal development. Another 1,000 of those people are probably people who are in school or university and who can't afford and they just, you know, they're learning from you from afar. Another 250 of those people are probably people who are just like you, who are trying to glean from you what the heck they should be doing to build their own brand. Then you've got another maybe 100 of those people who are jealous, who don't even like you, who just there because they want to watch what you do. And then you've got about 150 people who actually may want to learn and grow and know more. And we know how Instagram and Facebook and everything has changed the algorithms. You can't just email or message people as is. It goes into the other folder, sort of the primary or the secondary folder. So how are you intending to reach those people? Really? Your job on social media is to take them off the platform and bring them into your platform because those platforms don't belong to you. They could shut it down. If there's a problem, you're in a mess. So your job is to take them from there by offering a product, bring them into your list where you could nurture them with information and then you could sell to them because then they become now part of a community of what you're doing. They're not your people. They belong to Facebook and Instagram.
They belong to Mark Zuckerberg. And he has more money than you do. Camelita, how do you list build? What are some of your your most effective lead magnets? What are you doing right now?
Definitely. I give away a lot of things. I do summits. I do webinars. I give away ebooks. I promote, some other stuff. Anything whereby people will find it easy to give you their name, phone, and email. Because that's all what you want. Name. Listen, you don't want email alone. Let me tell you. You want to sell? You don't want email alone. I said, give me your name. Give me your email. Seriously, you could ignore me. I want name, phone, and email. And then you'll get my ebook. Because I'm giving you a tool that I've worked hard to build. My life is in that ebook. So give me name, phone, and email. With that, I have a chance to sell to you. So I do webinars, a lot of webinars. Again, name, phone, email, give me a blood type and all if you choose. I do summits. I mean, you did anywhere where I could data capture, that is what I do. I give away free things. I offer 15 minutes. I'm not doing it. My team's going to do it. And anything where I can get people to respond. I'm not bothered how many people I've got on Facebook. Because there are people who've got 3,000 people and has monetized a lot more than someone who has 20,000 people, for instance. So your job is to be able to get that lead by giving away a lead magnet, ebook, whatever it is you can give away. I remember last year, when Facebook was running really well, I did 250,000 in a short space of time, a month, 2 months, 3 months on Facebook by just doing webinars. Just doing webinars. I wasn't trying to sell. I just wanted to give people information and just say to them, come, you want to know more? Come to me. I did the same thing on Clubhouse. I did almost 500,000 in 4 months. Why? Because I'm saying to people, come, take this entrepreneur assessment. Take my free ebook. Take my free this. Take it free. But in that little note, you're going to tell me what you're looking for. Are you looking for coaching, training, speaking? Who are you looking for? And that is what I'm looking for to sell to you. Because I know everybody that's downloading a book, a program, a plan, a podcast, they're actually looking for help. They're not just coming to you for, they're looking for something. Your job is to make sure in that form, they tell you what they're looking for. So when you call them up, you can say, hi, John. Thank you so much for downloading my ebook. I see you're interested in business coaching. Can you tell me a little bit more?
And now you can sell. And I hope everyone got that. 500,000 in 4 months on Clubhouse, 250,000 in a couple months on Facebook. And here's the thing everyone has to understand. Some of you are like, I've just planted my flag on Facebook. For Camelita and I, we are everywhere. We are going to haunt you. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We are on LinkedIn. We are haunting you all over the place because those algorithms change in terms of how much people can physically see. And it is a hustle. It's a daily promotion, multiple times a day, putting it out there, testing, doing a lead magnet. Have you had lead magnets that didn't work so well?
Of course. We all do. Especially after Facebook had the audacity to change the algorithms after I made all that money.
We need to call Mark. Does he know? I mean, really?
He knows. People were cussing him off on Facebook. The Facebook groups don't work anymore. This doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Then people are still there. It's good to build a personal brand, okay? And we're grateful. Mark, we're grateful. We're grateful for Facebook. It has helped us to connect with a lot of people. We're grateful for you. Don't get me wrong. We're grateful. But it has not worked. There are some times I've done some stuff and I'm thinking, what the heck? Why did I waste all that time? But listen, let me give you a little tip. Everybody, little tip. Your work is never in vain. You may not get paid today, but you will get paid. Because there are some people that need to see you 50,000 times because they're following 10,000 other people. And some people come and go. They spend hundreds of thousands with this one. And now they're thinking, you're just the same. And they spend with this one. And this one is there for 3, 6 months, 2 years, and then they're gone. Your consistency will pay off 3, 5, 7, 8, 9 years later.
Amen to that. Like, seriously. Wait, and Rebecca Zung, one of my good girlfriends, Camelita's coming to my 50th in Italy. Rebecca will be there too. There is going to be a lot of wine consumed. That's all I have to say. And cheese. Anyway, so Rebecca had produced this Learn on Demand. She brought in the videographer, the workbook, everything. Doesn't sell anything. But as she's growing her YouTube following, she's getting her narcissist checklist going. This past year, in that course she produced 2 years ago, she made almost $2 million. And that's the whole point. The first year, like almost none. She was telling me, she's like, Susan, I hardly sold any of them. And I invested, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to make a quality product. And that is what is going to get happen. Entrepreneurs give up because they expect the payday to be today, but it might not be today. And so let's talk about LinkedIn for a minute. Because you all hail the queen. So Kamala has like over 20,000 connections on LinkedIn. What are you doing on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn has changed again, like Facebook. You know, LinkedIn has a lot more videos.
That's Bill Gates. It's Bill and Mark. They're not our friends.
We love you guys, but I'm telling you, we don't like you.
We need a social media platform designed by Kamala and I, because it would be different.
It would be very different. But so with LinkedIn, it has changed a lot. LinkedIn obviously is B2B. It's moving a lot into B2C, but it's still B2B. So it's clearly a lot of people with letters after their name or people who have a lot of ego. But a lot of people have moved on to LinkedIn because they realized the Facebook crowd, they weren't making any money. Okay, when that whole Cambridge Analytica problem started, people start shifting across to Instagram and everywhere else. LinkedIn is a platform whereby you've got to be very consistent. The statistics show the average person, and there's millions and millions of people on LinkedIn, they probably have a very minute amount that actually use LinkedIn every single day. And why is that? Because people feel they just set up a LinkedIn profile. Some people don't have a website. They use LinkedIn as a place where people can find them, and they can make money that way. With LinkedIn, post engaging stuff. Allow people to comment on your stuff. I post a lot of stuff about my story or my journey and a lot of stuff about what's going on in my team because I want people to know what we're doing. But where I get traction is posting stuff where you're giving value, number one, and where you are touching people's hearts.
Oh.
Everybody on LinkedIn has a business of some sort. And everybody is looking for the same dollar or the same pound or the same euro, okay? So your job is, how do you differentiate yourself? And you differentiate by the story, making sure that your content is very different. If it's very visual, you know, keep it like that. And change with the times. I mean, LinkedIn brought in LinkedIn Live. I tried it out a couple of times. Not really bothered. Didn't really work for me. So you got to find out what actually works for you within the platform and how your audience responds. My audience won't respond the way your audience responds, but you got to find out how your audience responds. You got to feed that audience because they are looking for you. And just like I said before, there are people on LinkedIn, Susan, who saw me for years, didn't do a thing. And then all of a sudden, Kamala, I need your help. I need a coach.
Yeah.
So, but you got to build it and it takes time and you've got to comment on other people's posts. Be interactive with a lot of other people. Comment on LinkedIn news, because then LinkedIn, if yours get featured, you go way at the top of that news feature. And then everybody else wants to add you then on LinkedIn and find out what it is you do. So there's a lot of things to do with it, but it's a very, very, very underutilized, powerful tool.
I could not agree more. And people are willing to spend more on LinkedIn. It is a higher ticket item because you are dealing with the average income of someone on LinkedIn is over household income is over $20,000 higher than it is on Facebook. And that's, you are dealing with it just a different group of people. I think smart, funny. And I love what you said, touching people's hearts and that consistency. And I can't emphasize enough about commenting on the LinkedIn news and then going in. And if someone says something you like, connect with them, follow them, reach out, tell them, because it's amazing. It's like voyeurism, Kamala. Like people will say they're watching, but they don't comment. So
they don't.
No.
Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is the best place where you can get to the CEO. Which other platform on this planet you could send a direct message to a CEO of a major company and potentially have them or someone respond? Very, very few. And let me, one tip for those of you who are looking for funding and you are looking to build a business whereby you can potentially get investors, they are watching your LinkedIn profile.
Yes, they are. Let's talk about hashtags for a minute, because hashtags are so key. And I see people, Carmelita, they're using certain hashtags on one platform and certain hashtags in the other platform. They're all over the map. I look at who they are on Twitter. They're different than who they are on Instagram. They're different than who they are on LinkedIn. What is your advice for hashtags?
A couple of things. Find, especially on Twitter, because it goes quickly, whereas on LinkedIn has stayed there a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, especially on Twitter, find the hashtags that's happening today. Not controversial hashtags, of course, because then you'll get some crazy people. Find some hashtags. So what's trending? You want to put that a lot more on Twitter than anywhere else. What's trending? But have the consistency of the same hashtags on Twitter as you do on LinkedIn, as you do on Instagram, because then people can see that consistency across the board. But for Twitter, what's trending? What's in the know, what's in the now, what's happening in the news, not the controversial stuff or the craziness, but everything else. You might want to comment on something and hashtag that, because then that encourages a lot of other people to see you. And then obviously Twitter Spaces, if you're there and you're hashtagging what you're doing, use Twitter Spaces as well, because that will also help you. But at least be consistent across all platforms, because on LinkedIn, you could put your hashtag at the top and you could find everything to do with that hashtag. And again, you don't want to put, I have a lot of hashtags on Instagram. I put very little on Facebook or on Twitter because I know that people are looking for different things. But if you want to go down niche, then have very few hashtags that are very, very focused on your brand or your product in a different way, because people will hashtag and look for things a lot quicker than they will actually type in a word.
I love that. Hashtags are part of it. They're like a Google search. And that's how I've been this year getting free press. So I was just interviewed in a magazine. I love that. See, this is my sister. Good friends celebrate when other friends have wins. And so when Carmelita has the real estate empire that she's building, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to, so that's how I've been getting free press, Carmelita. So I do hashtag CEO women across all my platforms. And then, so I was just reached out to by a major magazine and the gal's like, I found you because of your hashtag. And so one thing I would say is that on Twitter, I use hashtag CEO women, hashtag women in tech, and there are different bots that are going to retweet some of your things, but pick a couple of hashtags that follow you across all of your platforms based on what your brand is, which is so key. Now, Carmelita, let's talk about one of your favorite topics, money. You are a self-made multimillionaire. You have coached six-figure earners and you've coached millionaires. In your opinion, what is the difference in mindset between someone who can get to six figures a year versus someone who can get to seven figures a year?
So there's two things. There's mindset and your ability to not worry about failure. Besides taking risks, that's a whole different thing. But it's for me, when I went from five to six and six to seven and multiple seven, it was the mindset was, I have got nothing to lose. If I fail, I'm not going to be worse off than I was today. I may not be closer to where I want to be, but it's so what if I fail? So what? And so I just did it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. We know the book. Just do it. And that's the difference in the mindset. So the people say, you know, get into action. Action dispels fear. Get into action. Start doing something towards where you're going. The more you get into action, even if you do it wrong, you'll get there a lot quicker than not doing anything at all. So get into action, because it dispels that mindset of disbelief and the fear, and just get on and do it, regardless of how you feel. There's no feeling. My whole my success formula is focus plus work times belief minus fear equal results. Because all of those things play in you going from five to six, six to seven, seven to multiple seven. Focus on what you're doing. Mind, as my mother says, mind your own business. Focus plus work. A living is made from 9 to 5. A fortune is made after 5. Work. Focus plus work. Times belief. You got to believe. Who do you believe in? You believe in you, your brand, product, or service. When everybody else says no, you believe. And belief is action. Remember, belief is action. Focus plus work times belief minus fear. Because you will be afraid. Every single day, you'll feel to quit when you're building. Your ability to carry on regardless. It is what going to, that's what will determine whether you are winning or losing. And the pandemic has actually taught us about that whole thing to do with fear. The ones that made more, we made more money in the pandemic. We bought more property. We quadrupled our income. Why? Because we won't focus on the fear. Focus, we were focused. Plus work, we were working like a dog. Times belief, we believe. Minus fear, equal results. That's my success formula for your mind and your pocket.
And when Camelita speaks, does anyone else feel like I either need to say amen or I need a coffee mug with her Camelita-isms or like a t-shirt or motivational signs? Like, girl, everything is like wisdom bomb, wisdom bomb, wisdom bomb. Oh my, I love you so much. I want to talk about using your money to make more money. Mm. There is a great shift of wealth happening. And when I did your event, we talked about the metaverse, NFTs, crypto, meme stocks. And there's a massive shift in wealth happening because there are a lot more opportunities, entry-level opportunities, whether it's crowdfunding or whatever, for people to invest in things that were previously privileged. So when people hear about you buying up all this property, in their minds, they're like, but Camelita, I'm not sitting on millions and millions of dollars, right? So will you share with us a little bit of the behind the curtain scenes into your burgeoning real estate empire?
Oh, listen, I love property. Like, I could buy everybody's house. Honestly, it's just good buy. Buy everybody's house. I love it. I want to tell you the backstory first, but then I want to tell you this. In 2020, I had a major surgery. Major surgery. Most people don't know. I told you, most people don't know. And it was like a month and a half after I said to my husband, we need to keep going. I mean, we were buying loads of property before. But at that point, I decided, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. And this was the start of the pandemic. And everything went haywire because everybody went home and nobody was in the office and everything else. And I said, we need to buy every single property that we need to buy, even though we had loads before that we can find. When you have no money, you got to find money. There are loans. I'm not telling people to use credit cards because I don't do that. There are loans. You can take legitimate loans. There's funding. You can do rent to rent. You could do rent to buy. You can do have less where you have, you know, a lot of people living in one house. HMOs, we call it here. There are at least 20 or 30 different ways to buy property with zero money. So your job is to educate yourself and find how you can do that. Because there was a report from Forbes. It was sometime last year during the pandemic. It said 64% of the wealth in this world is in real estate. 64%. Wow. They said 20 something or the other people that was wealthy, talking about the wealthiest people in the world, and they were talking about all the people that had all the Sam Waltons and, you know, his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. All of those people, the majority, 64% of them had money. Their wealth was in real estate. 30% was in, listen to this, digital assets. I was like, right, what does that look like? So it was all anything to do with anything, any digital asset you can think about. And this was before crypto and blockchain and all that business. This was before all of that. And then the other percentage is just other things. So I thought, right, I'm definitely in the right game. So as an entrepreneur, your job is to make money and to buy income generating assets, whether it's crypto, whether it's property, whether it's whatever. That's your job, because the plan has to be your money to make money so you don't have to get up out of bed. You know my plan. 3 years, done work. I'm done.
Yeah,
because I've been working on this now for years. Because I've been investing for the longest time into income generating assets, most of it, a huge portion of it, I've got loads of digital assets, but most of it is property. Because that's what the book says. Most of the wealthiest people in the world have 64% of them, they own their wealth in real estate. So what should you learn from that? And this was last year when we were doing this for years, last 15 years. This was last year. What does that tell you? Where should you pitch your tent? And then it said digital assets, I know we're going to talk about. So where should you pitch your tent? Right now, you got no choice. You want to stay ahead, you got no choice. And especially when everybody is freaking out and worrying, you need to get to work and you need to get busy.
Mm. Well, you were just given the recipe, everybody. I mean, 64%
Couldn't believe it too
in
high.
real estate. I can't even
Oh,
believe it. And I just got back from New York, National Retail Federation, big show. So the largest retail show in the world. So you have Brian Cornell, the CEO of Target. You have Patrice, who's CEO of Ralph Lauren. I was in sessions with the head of the metaverse team for Estée Lauder. They're talking about these digital playgrounds, and all of these companies are acquiring virtual real estate in Roblox, in Decentraland. I'm looking at real estate in Decentraland. I just need to be home for a hot minute to make my acquisition. I messaged when I was in Cavalito, when I was in New York. I'm messaging Emery, my 12-year-old. I'm like, "Are you on Roblox?" She's like, "Yes, mama." I said, "Will you teach mommy about Roblox?" And
Oh
she's like,
my
"Okay,
Lord.
sure, I'll teach you." Like, there is so much money to be made, and I predict that the people who love real estate in the real world, they're gonna start snapping up real estate in the metaverse. You and I, when I did your event, we were talking about NFTs, we're talking about crypto, we're talking about all these things now. So, what is on the roadmap for, in addition to acquiring properties in the real world here, what is on the roadmap for wealth building for you?
Well, I mean, if Sotheby's bought property in the metaverse, then so should Camelita, right? So I'm
Exactly.
looking, yeah, I've got sort of that piece and I've got a bit of the other piece. My goal for the next 12, 18 months, 2 to 3 years, is to focus heavily on the digital space, to focus heavily on creating NFTs, my own, whatever we plan to do it. I've connected with some people already. Focus heavily on investing, not just into crypto, but all different types of digital assets, and looking heavily on buying land in the metaverse. I like to do my due diligence. I've studied law, I did land law, I kind of understand that whole contract side of things. I ain't buying nothing until I see the paperwork. So I am very focused on that. But I want to learn because that's where the world is going. Your job as an entrepreneur is to find out where the world is going. And you need to be ahead, not behind, because then all those people would have made their money and then, tailing along trying to buy scraps of what they don't want or they're selling what they don't want. That's not happening. I am going to learn. You could learn. We could learn anything. You could learn to fly a plane. You could learn anything. So if this is the area where the world is going, go and learn because I am going to learn and I am diving into that and I'm going to get the right advice. And I am going to learn because if that's what the billionaires in this world are doing, then that's where I'm pitching my tent.
And you can tell that Camelita is serious. She's not just curious. And that's the difference between someone who becomes a multimillionaire is because they can execute, right? And Camelita executes. She executes and she is not afraid to fail. So in the chat right now, what I want to see, based on what Camelita has shared, what are you going to execute on? I want to see that right now. Because here's the thing, we can be here a year from today, and I am very confident in a couple of things. One, I will be a year older and I will be wealthier. And Camelita will be a year older and she will be wealthier. And the third thing I'm confident in is we'll both be looking really good. Last question I have for you. Walk us through your day. You are such an achiever. Walk us through your day. What time do you wake up? What's your morning routine?
So I get up at 6. I try not to get up before because I really want to mentally sleep right. I don't want that day to be my last. So I get up at 6. I read personal development. I pray, just talk to God, get my mind in the right space. I go downstairs. I go on my treadmill. I walk on my treadmill. I do a reel while I'm on my treadmill. And I'm either reading something on social media or I'm making notes of all the things that's flooding out of my mind. And I'm making notes on my phone while I'm walking. When I'm done, I come upstairs. I have a team meeting with my team after breakfast. Team, I do not have breakfast at my computer. Zero. I stay downstairs. I have breakfast with my husband, cooked breakfast. We eat, and then I come upstairs.
Who cooks the breakfast?
Me, of course. I love to cook, darling. I'm from the Caribbean. I love to cook.
I didn't want to be insulting. I didn't know. Maybe.
I love. That's one of my pastimes. I absolutely love to cook. I love to cook nice things that I can enjoy. I think it's, for me, it's savory and it's nice. So I come upstairs, shower, and then I get in front of my computer. First thing, I message my team. You know, hi, good morning. Hope you guys have an amazing day today. I give them the task, but whatever. And then I get on with my day. Sometimes I'm doing my day is very structured. I have a planner, my planner here. It's very structured. So it's every hour, every half hour is minuted and structured in what I need to do. So when I'm doing property, and it's color coordinated as well. What is urgent, what is important, or what can wait. And so it's structured where I know exactly what's happening and what's going on. If it's property stuff happening, if it's family stuff, if it's event of champions stuff, and I make use of every single hour of the day. I stop for lunch. I might have a salad, you stop for lunch. I am not going to eat lunch at my computer. I am not going to die for this business. No chance. I'm going to stop. I'm going to have proper lunch, and then I'm going to come back in my office, and then I will carry on. And if I'm doing calls and stuff in the evening, fine. I can get that done. Have some fruit. I have a whole load right here. I will show you. I'm playing because I'm not going to eat junk all day to try and make money. Not happening. Right here. So at night, I'm having fruits because I'm not going to eat junk. So it's right next to my... So when I'm done with you, I'm going to have some oranges and some tangerines. And then I'm going to have a shower and I'm going to go in my bed. And I'm going to talk to God. And I'm going to just mentally be in a place of rest. And I'm going to make notes of anything else that I forgot so I can empty my mind off of all of those things. And I pray and I go and sleep.
That is beautiful. And you're not going to get scurvy.
Right here.
Camelita, that's the difference between an achiever and a non-achiever. You know, as Jim Rohn used to say, you run your day or your day runs you. And that it's that deliberate, that consistency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of many things I love about you is you have your wall kicking moments, but you dig in and you get gritty and you're like, okay, but you know, I'm not going to be down for long, maybe a minute or 2 minutes. And then I'm going to get back in my routine and I'm going to get in there. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to serve more people and I'm going to crush it. I love you. I can't wait. I cannot wait until Camelita and I are in Italy. It's going to be Camelita, Rebecca Zung, and my friend Alessandra, who is, she runs a magazine called Global Fashion Lawyer. Ooh. And she's from Milan. And it's over. It's like, I can't. We will have to make a YouTube series of this.
It will just be like. Well, listen, you guys need to fly into London. We can have dinner or tea at the Ritz before we go, darling. One has to do that if one is in London.
Of course, because I love lemon curd. Like, I could bathe in it. I'm not even kidding. That's a whole other story. Camelita, where can people connect with you?
Oh my God. All you need to do is go to camelita.com. Very simple. One name, camelita.com. Find me everywhere on social media. And you know what? camelita.com/free resources. Go get one of those ebooks. Remember, don't forget, get some things, some tools that can help you win fast and win big. Do it right now. camelita.com.
Camelita.com. It's one name. It's like Lord of the Rings. One ring to rule them all. It's like one queen to rule them all. I love you. Everyone in the chat right now, a love note to Camelita. What are you taking away? Go to camelita.com/free resources. And thank you, Camelita, again, so much for being here.
It was my pleasure. You know, I love you. I love you. You're my sister. I love you.
I love you too, girl.
Hey, it's Susan. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. If this episode has helped you in
anyway, please go ahead and give a great review on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you listen to this podcast. If this show has really given you some amazing insight, please go ahead and tag me on social at Susan_Sly on Twitter, at Susan Sly on Instagram, and at Susan Sly Live on Facebook. With that, check out more great episodes of Raw and Real Entrepreneurship, the show where entrepreneurs create their own freedom. With that, God bless, go rock your day, and I will see you in the next episode.